Hello. Welcome to the Documenting the Journey podcast. This show is for anyone trying to build a high-performance organization. You're going to hear thought leadership and breakthrough ideas on strategy execution, performance management, and of course, continuous improvement. Let's dive right in.
This is Calvin Williams. I'm with Improver, and I have the honor and the privilege to be here with Larry Sternberg, everybody. He is a Talent Plus Fellow at Talent Plus, Inc., which, by the way, was recently named number two on the Leadership 500 Excellence list by HR.com. He holds a JD in law from Georgetown University, a BA in philosophy and anthropology from Hamilton College, and he currently resides in Lincoln, Nebraska, which is the home of my alma mater, University of Nebraska in Lincoln. So how is life in Lincoln, Larry?
Life in Lincoln is good. The slogan of the town is the good life. Life in Lincoln is good.
Life in Lincoln is good. Do you miss the days of, you know, being a top contender in NCAA football? How are you feeling about that?
To be honest, Calvin, I'm not from around here, so I didn't grow up with the Husker culture, and I'm indifferent about it, to be honest with you.
Okay. All right. Good. So you're probably one of the better spirited folks around town. So
the spirit is always good in Lincoln, Nebraska. I'm not from around here, but I wasn't around in the glory days of football. Yeah. So I can't miss what I didn't experience. But I will tell you, people are excited in Lincoln because there's a new coach here and they're excited to see the coming season. But one of the things that I want to mention to you, because you are at UNL, one of the things that's really exciting is the women's volleyball team, which is one of the best teams in the country. They have just sold out Memorial Stadium for a volleyball game in three days. They sold almost 85,000 tickets in Memorial Stadium. And this is going to be one of the biggest attendance for any female sport ever.
That is crazy.
Now, as you know, people in Lincoln come out and support their teams and support their community members. And
absolutely. Honestly, over the state, really, right? Because
when
I was there, I actually ran track and we were, you know, semi-celebrities. Even the kids in high schools across the state knew who members of the track team were, which was a treat, actually.
By the way, my co-author also ran track at UNL.
Is that right? Who's your co-author?
Dr. Kim Turnage. She and I wrote a book together called Managing to Make a Difference. And
yeah, okay.
She ran track at UNL, and she was NCAA ranked.
Is that right? That's fantastic.
Yes, indeed.
Well, good. The name actually sounds familiar. And yeah, I want to dive into the book a little bit more here, which was really cool. But so let's do this. Tell me more about your background and the kind of work you're doing today.
Well, my background is not traditional. I went to law school. I went to Georgetown Law. I practiced law for a few years in D.C., decided I wanted to switch careers. And while I was going through high school and college, I had worked as a cook in a Holiday Inn. And so when I switched careers, I decided I wanted to focus on the hotel industry. And I got involved with Hyatt Hotels, and I eventually became the corporate director of training for Hyatt. And then I eventually joined the Ritz-Carlton Hotel Company and became a general manager for Ritz-Carlton. So I was in the luxury hotel business for 20 plus years. And then based on an experience I had opening a hotel in San Francisco, I eventually decided to join a company called Talent Plus, which is based here in Lincoln, Nebraska. And that's why I'm living in Lincoln, Nebraska. I eventually became president of Talent Plus. And now I'm not president, but I'm on the board still.
That's awesome. That is a very non-traditional path, but great to hear you got some real sort of hands-on, roll up your sleeves leadership experience prior to going into consulting, which I think is key, right? You kind of have to do it successfully before you can teach others how to do it successfully. And I think there's a lot to that. So Talent Plus, I know you guys do staffing, recruiting, maybe a little bit more than that. Can you elaborate a little bit on it?
Well, actually, it's an easy misconception. We don't do staffing and recruiting.
Oh, okay.
What we do is we assess potential.
Okay.
We assess aptitude. Our definition of talent is the potential for near perfect performance. And when you think about it, near perfect performance is probably a great definition for excellence. And in any event, though, that's our definition of talent. And a reasonable synonym is aptitude, giftedness, the potential to perform at a very, very high level over a long period of time. And so that's what we do. We assess that for people who are already working in organizations, and we do those assessments for candidates as well.
Got you. So, okay, dive into that a little bit more for me. How do you determine if a person has the potential for near perfect performance? I think that's a tall order to fill. How do you know that a person has that kind of potential?
It is. And I will tell you, the original research on this was done by the head of the psychology department at your alma mater. His name is Dr. William E. Hall. You probably know, because you're studying high performing organizations and high performing people. What would you say when I give you the following assertion? Winners talk differently.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. They talk to themselves differently.
You see, yeah, and to others, right?
You see, to others. It's true.
What Dr. Hall figured out is that top performers in different professions, in different fields, talk differently from each other. So a top performing policeman doesn't talk the same as a top performing teacher or nurse. But all of those top performers talk differently than mediocre performing policemen, teachers, and nurses.
Interesting. And okay.
So building on that insight, what he decided to do was contrary to what most psychologists study people who are in trouble, who are having problems. Dr. Hall wanted to study success. And so he started studying top performers. What he learned is that top performers will answer certain questions. The content of the answer statistically will be different than people who aren't top performers in that field.
Is that right?
And yes, that is right. We have proved this empirically. I give you one example that occurred years ago. This is just a glimpse into what I'm saying. Dr. Hall at one time was asked to develop an interview for a particular university that they could use with hockey players to see if these hockey players had the potential for near perfect performance in playing hockey. And so they interviewed the top hockey players that they could find, which included some names, you know, names everybody knows. They're historic in the world of hockey. And one of the things he learned when he was interviewing them is that they would say, when I'm playing hockey, time slows down. When somebody hits a slap shot, I can actually see that it bounces off the back of this guy's skate. It goes over here, hits this guy in the thigh, and it ricochets off the post of the goal. I can see all of that. Fast forward to a time when this university was using the interview for somebody who wanted to play hockey at the university. And the interviewer said to him, does time ever seem to slow down for you? And the interviewee literally got out of his seat, came around the desk and grabbed the guy by the shoulders and said to him, who told you that?
Wow.
And if you ask the average bear, does time ever seem to slow down for you? They're probably going to not be able to give you an answer. But this kid said, yes, it does. And my father told me never to tell anybody that because they'd think I was crazy.
Hey guys, this is Calvin with Improver. Just want to make sure you're aware of the hottest new leadership book on the market. It's called Fit, The Simple Science of Achieving Strategic Goals. If you love Toyota Kata, 4DX, growth hacking, A3 thinking, Scrum, Agile methodology, you would absolutely love Fit. It provides a ton of excellent case studies and testimonials for how you can create a high-performance organization through the application of agile strategy execution and continuous improvement. Go to Amazon.com right now and search for FIT, the Simple Science of Achieving Strategic Goals, and get your copy today.
And you know that Ted Williams could actually see the rotation of the stitches on the baseball.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I can't do that.
That is a gift for sure.
It's a gift. And so the fundamental research is you study top performers by asking them certain questions. And those questions, the answers to those questions, disclose some things about them, about their character, and about their giftedness. And then if you ask somebody else that same set of questions, if they have that, even if they've never played hockey, or even if they've never been in sales, or even if they've never done job X, you can tell whether they have the potential. But you got to do a lot of research to figure out what those questions are.
Yeah, I love that. That is incredible. And so does everyone have a talent or a space where time slows down for them in that given situation?
But everybody has the potential to perform with excellence at something. That's our stance in the world. We know that everybody has talent. We know that everybody has the potential for excellence at something. Yep. And one of the things we want to do for organizations is help them figure out, is somebody in the right role? Are they in the right seat on the bus where the gifts that they have happen to be the gifts that are suited to give them the potential to achieve excellence in this role you're thinking about? And I'm going to tell you, the first time I used this, I was a client. I wasn't with Talent Plus. I was a client. And I was VP of HR opening a hotel in San Francisco. We were hiring 350 people for the opening of this hotel. And as you know, San Francisco is a very diverse city.
Yes, for sure.
And I became aware of this approach. This is actually a science. It's called psychometrics. And I became aware that this approach could be used to determine who you are going to select for your team. And so I was the VP of HR. So I just decreed that we're going to use this approach. And I told the HR team in San Francisco, I said, you call every organization whose mission includes helping their people find jobs. And you tell them, send your people no experience necessary. Everybody, it's a level playing field. Everybody gets exactly the same set of questions on the interview. It's a level playing field. Send your people. And they did. And when the dust all settled, the staff of 350 people in that hotel was to the percentage point the diversity in San Francisco.
Wow. Is that right?
Because when you focus on potential, you eliminate two barriers to people getting ahead. And those two barriers are education and experience. And particularly for a lot of jobs in the hotel, you don't need a lot of education. And if you've got the right gifts, you don't need, we can teach you the technical skills. We can teach you, but we can't teach you to smile. We can't,
right.
We can't teach you when somebody comes to the front desk to make them feel good just because that's how you're wired. That's what you do. It was astonishing. We had such diversity in that hotel. It was amazing. I hired a husband and wife team, 70 years old, to clean guest rooms. This is hard work. Let me tell you, nobody else would have hired 70 years old.
Wow.
Nobody else would hire you for this work. The instrument said they could do it.
So psychometrics, I think that's what you called it, right? Is that what you define as the science of talent? Or is that
Science of talent. The psychometrics is a well-established area of psychology. The science of talent is just a particular application.
Tell me more about the science of talent. What is that?
We study top performers. We understand by asking them questions and recording their answers, we understand what gives them the potential, what gives them the potential for excellence.
Gotcha. Okay.
We then can interview other people based on their answers to the questions. We can discern whether they have the potential for excellence.
Gotcha. Okay, I'm with you. So you co-wrote a book, Managing to Make a Difference. It's yes. about hiring, retaining, and developing talent from within. There's a trend in companies going outside to backfill for key leadership roles. Why do you think this is?
It's because they haven't done a good enough job of developing people who they can promote into those key leadership roles.
Yeah, right, right. So what do you think they're doing wrong when it comes to developing talent within?
Well, first of all, they're not using best practices to assess the potential of someone. Pick an organization that we'll just use as a hypothetical. I don't care what it is.
Let's go with Google.
Google, terrific. And I don't know what Google's practices are. Google may be geniuses at this. But
I like Google. I'm not picking on Google, but you know, they just came top of mind. So let's talk Google.
Fine. The good news is they're a big organization, so they have a lot of people.
Yep.
And here's the deal. Pick a ballpark number. How many people do you think work at Google?
120,000.
120,000. Terrific.
I could be wrong. I think it's over 100. It was over 100. It may be smaller now.
That's fine. That's a big number. Let's take any organization that size.
Yep.
Statistically, it is almost 100% certain that there are future C-suite executives in that population of 120,000 people.
You would hope so.
I don't hope so. Statistically.
Right.
I would bet big money that statistically they're there.
Now, there's a possibility and that they weed out folks who have that kind of potential, but I doubt that's the case.
There's a possibility. Google. There's a possibility they did. There's also the possibility they just don't know what they're looking for.
Right.
And they don't know how to look. Organizations should be learning entities where people grow and develop while they're working there. And where the employer is investing in their growth and development and figuring out what are their aptitudes, what are their talents, and how can I grow those? One of the problems is, it's a problem in our society, and it manifests itself in companies. Companies spend too much time focusing on what's wrong with people in their organization. And that's not where, again, they want to correct their faults. They want to, they want to hammer out their weaknesses. You know,
trying to raise the floor, right? Instead of thinking about lifting the ceiling.
Yeah. Human growth doesn't lie in correcting weaknesses or trying to get what you haven't been gifted with. Human growth, the real secret to human growth is identifying what are somebody's gifts? Where is their area for potential? Let's invest in that.
Absolutely.
And then, because every person creates success based on the gifts they've been given.
That's it. Yeah. And if you evaluate a fish on how well they climb a tree, you're going to be disappointed.
Disappointed
at all fish, right?
That's
fish
right.
Fish are great at what they're great at, right? That's where they're going to succeed is in the water.
And let me build on that fish analogy. Giftedness is to a person the way water is to a fish. Mm. If you and I caught a talking fish and we said to the fish, tell us about the water, I bet you the fish would say, what water? People oftentimes don't recognize their giftedness for what it is.
Right.
Because it's giftedness, it comes to them easily, and they don't have to work as hard as other people to get better at it.
And they assume everybody has it too, right?
That's right. Managers will say to somebody, I don't know why you can't do this. I can do it, and I'm nobody special.
Right.
That shows a lack of wisdom on the manager's part. The manager may have certain gifts that person they're talking to just doesn't have.
That doesn't mean that person's gifts should be invalidated. It's just
Maybe a lack of
awareness on the manager's part, right?
It's like expecting the fish to climb a tree. If the manager's the fish, they say that if the manager's a squirrel, the squirrel says to the fish, I don't know why you can't climb the tree. It's easy for me.
Right, right. And
so if you're not doing it, it must be your attitude.
And the sad part is companies, they interview, but they don't ask how well do you climb trees, right?
they don't know how to ask, because quite frankly, it takes a long time to do the kind of research to come up with a set of questions that really distinguishes people with the potential from people not with the potential. I'll give you an example. I spent 20 plus years in the hotel business, and a question that is typically asked to job candidates, hourly candidates, particularly young people, is why do you want to be in the hotel business? And almost everybody will tell you it's because I love people. I know this because I interviewed people for more than 20 years. So take my word for it. Almost everybody will say that. Well, that means you've just wasted your time, because top performers will give you that answer, but people who will fail in the job will also give you that answer. So it's a waste of time to ask that question, because it doesn't help you distinguish. It doesn't help you have insight into whether or not this person has the potential to perform with near perfect performance. So
what would be a better way to phrase the question? Or what would be a better question to ask, I guess?
Oh, well, there's a whole set of questions. That's the point. That's how we do our research. That's why we do the research. You've got to ask a whole set of questions, because it's not just the answer to one question that is going to tell you whether somebody has the potential. The answer to one question, you might want to learn more. If you hear somebody say, suppose you ask somebody, are you a good loser? You remember what Vince Lombardi said about good losers?
I'm not sure. What did he say?
Show me a good loser and I'll show you a loser.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
And there are certain cultures where the people who thrive are intensely competitive people.
Right.
And the Ritz-Carlton Hotel Company was one of these cultures when I worked there. And the people were intensely competitive. In an interview, if I ask somebody, are you a good loser? And they say, yes, because I always learn something. That's not the sign of an intensely competitive person. An intensely competitive person will tell you, you know what? I'm not a good loser. I may be gracious, but I'm not a good loser. It bothers me. It hurts me. Don't like to lose.
So is there a correlation between I'm assuming there is, but I want to know from you. Is there a correlation between competitiveness and being a high performance individual?
There can be. I'm going to contrast for you two different types of drive that can lead to high performance. One of those is being competitive. You want to outperform your competitors, whether you're in a sport or a job. You want to be the very best there is in that job. In your case, you know, if you were highly competitive, you would want to have the best podcast in whatever your competitive set is of podcasts. You'd want to have the best podcast. But there's another kind of drive that can lead to high performance, and that's goal orientation. And you think about people who run marathons. Almost everyone who runs a marathon has a goal, has a time they want to achieve.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't really care whether they have a better time than somebody else. But there are people who want to win the marathon. There are also guys who want to beat their buddy, or they want to beat their best time. And that's competitiveness. Tiger Woods has both. On Sunday, Tiger would pick a score. He'd have a goal. But he picked that score because he was pretty sure that if he hit that score, it was going to be the winning score.
Right.
People can achieve a high level of excellence without being intensely competitive, simply because they're perfectionists. They want to achieve that goal. I'm an Olympic competitor. I want to get a 10. I don't care if other people get 10s. I want the 10.
Yep. I'm shooting for perfection myself. The self-mastery, in a sense.
Yeah. Okay. And you may not compare yourself to other people. You may compare yourself to whatever your definition of self-mastery is. Now you take Michael Jordan, there's an intensely competitive guy.
Yeah, for sure.
And I've been doing this for so long. I can just listen to interviews on sportscasters and make a determination whether somebody is intensely competitive. You listen before the game. One team says, we are going to win. And the other team says, we're going to go out there and do our best. Who do you think is going to win?
Right. Yeah, that's interesting. So what's better for a culture? If you had a team full of folks who are highly competitive and a team full of folks who are highly goal-oriented, right, on both extremes, which company would resemble more of a high-performance organization?
They can both be high-performance organizations. Mm. That is not determinant of a high-performance organization. But what is determinant is there enough drive? Is there enough determination?
That's the key.
To reach that level of performance. And if you don't have either one of those, it's very unlikely you're going to have a high performance organization.
So it's really not about what drives you. It's the fact that drive needs to exist. Drive, ambition, yes. Those kind of things.
And intense drive.
Intense
drive. You can have a lot of different cultures producing high performance organizations. But the drive has to be there, and it has to be there from senior leaders, and the values of the senior leaders will infuse the organization. They will pervade the organization. So if you have a senior leader who really demands excellence, Steve Jobs, right? He was famous for demanding a high level of excellence for people, and he was well aware that other organizations weren't as demanding of a high level of excellence as he was. Well, not everybody's going to thrive in that kind of an organization. But the demand for excellence was there.
Absolutely. Wow, this is powerful stuff. It's got my mind spinning and going in so many different directions. Really glad we got a chance to go through this. So, if you're a senior leader who just took a position in a company, and you were hired in at the top, and you took an assessment of the organization, and you decided, all right, I want to transform this company into a high performance organization. What few things should they start with?
Well, the first is, let's articulate the vision of how will we know when we become a high performance organization.
Okay.
As a leader. Leaders are obligated to have a vision of where they're going, right? The followers don't have to have that vision, but the leaders do. So the first thing is to answer that question. When we become a high-performance organization, what will that look like? How will we know it? What will we see happening? What will we see not happening? Create a vivid picture for people. Because you're talking about a transformation, and obviously that's a major change. And so you want to make sure that people are changing toward something that's desirable, not just away from something into an unknown. People don't like unknowns. People don't like unknowns. So create the vision of what constitutes a high organization and answer the question, when we're on our way there, how will we know it? When we get there, how will we know it? And now you're talking about maybe some metrics. Yeah. If you're talking about a sports team, we'll have our percentage of winning games will increase in the season. We'll have fewer turnovers. We'll have, and so as a leader, you've got to give people hope. Very important. Give people hope for a better future. And so you create the vision of, we're going to become a high performance organization. Why? This is how it's going to help whoever we serve. I'm going to call them customers, but every organization serves some group of people. I'm just going to call them customers. It's going to help our customers. It's going to help our shareholders. It's going to help you. And this is how it's going to help you. And this is how we're going to do it. You lay out for people a plan. But I will tell you this. No organization can become a high-performance organization unless their team players have the potential to be high-performance players.
There you go.
You're just not going to take a random group of people off the street and make them a high performance team. So you've got to start with identifying and selecting who's going to be on the team. You're going to find if you're there to transform the organization and they're not a high performing organization, you're going to find maybe that the expectations haven't been there, which in my opinion is almost an insult to the people. It means you don't really believe they can make it. Well, I don't have those expectations for you. I don't believe that you're capable of doing it. And I happen to be a competitive guy. So whatever I'm doing, I want the team to be number one. I want the company to be number one. Whatever it is, I want it to be number one. I don't always get there, by the way, but that's my drive. That's my determination. You place the expectations on people. You vividly describe where you're going and you say why, and you make sure people know what's in it for them.
Yep.
And then you're going to have to make some changes. And leaders who come in, a new leader like you described, comes in and says, I'm not going to make any changes. That's just not true. They may be saying that to keep people from panicking, but it's just not true. If you're not going to make changes, then, you know, the results you've been getting, you're going to get the same results going forward.
Yep.
There are going to be changes.
Yeah, because I think when you can help a person improve their performance and you'll get a marginal improvement, but by getting a new person who's a high performance individual, you'll get a order of magnitude greater degree of improvement, right? Almost instantly.
Absolutely correct. One of the things that happens when you decide you're going to focus on potential and invest in people is you get diversity, because talent does not know the packaging.
That's it. I like to put it as God doesn't, the God is not racist. God puts his talent in all of us, right?
Exactly. And that's the first sentence of our mission statement. We know every
that's
person
powerful.
Has talent.
I could tell you as an African-American person, the whole inclination towards disciplinary action when there's a, you know, unexpected pattern is, you know, as a black person, you often don't get the benefit of the doubt. Even when your talent shines through, oftentimes that talent is packaged as a deviance or a liability when.
Oh, sure.
It's a talent.
Absolutely.
Right. Just put
absolutely.
It where it belongs. Right.
Exactly. The same thing happens to women.
True.
You know, when girls start exercising leadership, people call them bossy, and women aren't supposed to act that way. And I can tell you, when you start focusing on talent instead of education and experience, we were helping to hire people for Mercedes-Benz salespeople, and we interviewed a guy in the Bronx. He was 18. He was black. He had never even sat in a Mercedes. And I called that Mercedes dealer and I said, I know that you normally wouldn't consider this guy, but he will blow the doors off your sales goals. If you will train him, he will blow the doors off your sales goals. This is what happens when you start focusing on the potential of people. I can't tell you how many organizations I've said, you know, if you want real diversity, we can give it to you because we can tell you who has potential. And all this conversation about, well, we'll have to compromise our standards, that's complete BS.
Right. What are your standards, right? Let's document those standards and let's take a closer look. So I gotta get out of here. We actually ran a little bit long, but many powerful lessons and ideas and thoughts that you've shared with us today. I am endlessly appreciative of your stories and some of the thought leadership you've brought to this conversation. So a couple quick questions and then let's get up out of here, and we're gonna have to circle back and do another one, right, and dive deeper on some of these topics. So
I would love it.
Yeah, I think it'd be amazing. So what are you reading and what would you recommend that we take a look at?
Actually, I'm going to give you two books.
Okay.
I just reread, and it's called Strategy Pure and Simple. And the author is, it's a French name. It's Michel, M-I-C-H-E-L-E. It's a man. Robert, it's spelled like Robert. It's about strategic thinking. And there's more than one version. And I just read the most recent version. Yeah, you can find that on Amazon.
Okay.
And another book I happen to be reading is The Conflict Helix, Rummel, R-U-M-M-E-L, The Conflict Helix. And it's about what creates conflict and what creates peace.
Awesome. Good. Added to my summer reading list already. Hopefully they got audiobooks. I'm an audiobook guy, so we'll have to check into that. But
yeah, I don't know if those are on audiobooks.
Yep. I'll check it out. Okay. Well, excellent. So Larry, this has been a privilege. So how can people get a hold of you if they want to connect with you and keep up with what you're up to?
Okay. This is cool. Here's the phone number. 1-800-VARSITY. You want the varsity players on your team.
That's it. I like that.
That's the Talent Plus number. 1-800-VARSITY is the Talent Plus number. Me and they'll find me.
Okay. All right. Perfect. All right. Larry Sternberg, everybody. Larry, again, thank you so much for coming through. This was really good. Man, I feel like there's a lot more to this story. So we're gonna have to circle back and do this again soon.
I look forward to it.
Yo, pleasure was all mine. Thank all right, Larry. Otherwise, have bye-bye. A great week, and we'll see you soon.
All right, so on.
Thank you guys so much for joining us today. This episode was brought to you by the good folks at Improver Technologies. If you like the show, you can find more just like it at improver.com. That's I-M-P-R-U-V-E-R.com, where you can learn more, do more, teach more, and transform your world. Thanks again. We'll see you soon.